Well, the chapter for today is The Most Excellent Way, all right? And what we're going to talk about is a famous chapter. What is 1 Corinthians 13 all about? Those of you who have been around the Bible in church, what is it? Love. Now, here's the thing. As I'm preparing this week, it's weird. Like, this was actually a harder sermon for me to prepare. And the reason I say that is, I don't know, maybe because it's so well known. So what are we going to do differently today that you haven't already heard, right? Well, I think what I can do is outline the chapter for you, put it in context for you of where Paul is going, why is it here, and what is he encouraging us to do. But most importantly today, I would like for you that as we go through the characteristics of what love is, right? And God is love, and he's the source of love. He's the one who does love, right? Perfectly. It's about emulating and imitating him. The best representative of that love is in Jesus Christ. So, you know, when you hear, like, be like Jesus, that's exactly what we're talking about. How do you embody God's love in your relationships with others? But here's what I want you to do today. I want you to find yourself in the text. Okay? You probably can't notice from that far back. But I'm going to encourage you to do something like this today, that if the Spirit speaks one thing that comes out of this list of love that you know you want the Holy Spirit to work in your life on, I want you to identify that. What do I got on mine? Roger, I hope you can read that. Patience. What's the first one Paul lists? Love is patient. I don't need to read any further. That one's for me. When you look in Deuteronomy chapter 6, 7, 8, you know, there's this passage where right after he says, love the Lord your God with all your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? We know that to be the greatest commandment. That soon after that he says, all these things that I am teaching you, that, for instance, loving God and loving one another, he says, put it on your forehead. Now, I didn't write it on my forehead because you want to know why? I wouldn't remember it. And then it says, write it, bind it around your wrists. Put it on the doorposts of your home. So what will it take this week for you as the Holy Spirit identifies one thing about love that you can emulate? What's it going to be? And this is just my choice. I thought, well, I'll put it here. You know what else would be interesting about this? It's not like we're supposed to put our sort of good deeds before others that they may see. We know that, right? In fact, we'll read about it in the text. That's not love. However, not only this will this remind me, but it might be interesting. Someone may ask about it. This is where I'm putting it. And I put another one on my wrist here, so at least that, you know, my left hand and my right hand will know what I'm doing. So let's head into the message for today. I would like for you to stand. And I don't know what, I don't think I have the clicker today. Let's stand. And I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Okay? At the end of chapter 12 already, Paul says this, after all these spiritual gifts, he says, I'll show you a more excellent way. I'll show you the most excellent way. I'll show you that. 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, speak God's word with power, and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, I can understand them and actually explain them to people. If I have a faith that can move mountains, mountain jump and it jumps, but do not have love, I am nothing. Do you hear that? I can give all I possess to the poor, sell it all, give it away, and give my body over to hardship that I may boast, meaning die as a martyr. But if I do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It isn't proud. Love does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease, and where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But, again, the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Already, I'm wanting you to think, do you have a favorite description of love in there? What it looks like? Do you have one where you would feel and sense the Holy Spirit saying, oh, I need more of that? What would it be? The context of this text today is poignantly placed. Paul is a man with a plan here in the way he writes. It's not just consciousness of thought, I don't think. I think he planned to put this here at this point. Encouraging the exercise and use of all the gifts that God has given the body of Christ and the Holy Spirit, he ends the chapter with saying, now I will show you a more excellent way, the most excellent way. And you know something most important is coming. So 1 Corinthians 13, it's you would think, oh man, that's a good wedding poem or passage. And it is. It would be a good one. It's not either like a global theme song, right? Sometimes that comes out, right? Where sort of love, love, love will make people happy, right? You know, those kind of things that catch on and they go worldwide, whatever it may be. Although it could be. Paul's masterpiece on love is only understood in the context of where it's placed. Everything that we've been through in 1 Corinthians, a corrective to a church that seemed obsessed with spiritual gifts, particularly elevating some over others, a church that was always making comparisons between leaders and between people. There was leadership competition. There was lots of wayward pleasure pursuits in order to find true love. We read about it, I think George was here, when he talked about the Lord's Supper message. The fact that there were divisions among them, different types of favoritism, and for them it seemed to be among the wealthy and the poor particularly. So Paul's placement here, love is what God is, love is what God does, love is the foundation of a life in Christ. And he says it looks crucified and risen, that our life is found in Christ with that way and the way we live. Christian community, the Christian heartbeat of our life. So, three main points I want to make today. As I'm making them straight out of the text, continue to think, what is one that you, mine's patience, I could probably put them all on. We were joking earlier, like maybe we should write them on our nose. I mean, I could fit all mine on my nose, I think. Now I will show you a more excellent and most excellent way. The first thing that Paul does is he talks about love's centrality. His point basically is this: no matter how gifted, knowledgeable, or sacrificial we are, that without love, it actually amounts to nothing. So think about that, actually. All the good things you think we do, right, in our life, and there's probably many we could point to, like some good things. that come out of some love, right? This is interesting. Anything we do or say in the name of the Lord is worthless, amounts to nothing, if the motivation isn't genuine love for God and others. That's the first thing he points out. The second thing is he starts to list love's character. It is notable that Paul doesn't define love as feelings. It's much more described by attitudes and actions. Going after the heart, right, and how this is lived out. In terms related closely to the description of the fruit of the Spirit that you can find in Galatians, you find similar things: patience, kindness, humility, forgiveness, truthfulness, perseverance. All of these ideas come together in Paul's understanding of love. So the first description is love is patient. You know, I've been thinking about this because that's something for me that I can work on. And better yet, I said it wrong, that the Holy Spirit can take control of my life and work on in me. What is it for you? Is it kindness? Find yourself speaking harshly to another? Perhaps even your spouse, right? People who are close to you. I was thinking the other day just simply about encouragement, how our culture has become quite critical in nature, able to sort of pick things apart or see what's imperfect rather than encourage. How is that going for you? Like, just put encouragement. I was thinking about this in terms of something I've grieved about a little bit, because I've noticed it that worsened since COVID, actually, now, which is what, 5 years ago. But people's habits of sort of greeting one another has really gone down, like just simple greeting. Like just saying, good morning, Riley. I'll just use Riley. Like our eyes are down. We don't make good eye contact. We're not as good with just connecting with people with sort of a face of joy and interest. We're very self-interested, self-focused. And how about, right, forgiveness, which, by the way, is embodied in so much of what Paul says here, what love looks like. I don't keep no record of wrongs. I don't dishonor others. I look for someone's best interests. This is really hard. In fact, it can happen, right, in all kinds of relationships we have. And I think especially the significant relationships we have, where we start to take advantage of the relationship, its longevity or whatever it may be. And what we tend to do is read into things rather than ask good questions. So love is patient. Let me read them, and you think for yourself what it would be. Love is patient, kind. Love doesn't envy. Love doesn't boast, isn't proud. Love doesn't dishonor another. It isn't self-seeking, or I guess another way to say it is self-glorifying. It isn't easily angered. That probably goes along with patience for me. Keeps no record of wrongs. This is like remembering something from long ago or a while back, and there's still something there, and it actually affects the way you love people today. Doesn't delight in evil, rather rejoices in the truth. He sort of rounds things out by saying, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love always protects, trusts, hopes, and perseveres. So how can we live this out in our significant relationships one to another? third thing that Paul does is he talks about love's consistent, comprehensive, all-encompassing continuity. You see, he actually points out that there's temporary nature to all the gifts of the Spirit that different one of us may be given or that we exercise in different ways. There's a temporary nature to it. But he says love is not temporary at all. Love is forever and ever, right? We sang about it. God's love perseveres, endures, lives forever. There's a song I love. We've sung it here a few times, but let me just read it to you. It's like, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. You can't write enough books about it. You can't say enough words about it. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. That's God's love. God gave his one and only son, God's love for his sons and daughters, his children, to win full and complete pardon from all our sin. We sang that. Verse 3, great is thy faithfulness. The love of God, so rich and pure, so measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure. The redeeming song, God's love song, could we with ink the ocean fill? See, somebody who's human is trying to get their head around it. Could we with ink the ocean fill, were the skies of parchment made, were every star in the sky a quill, and every human being a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though it stretched from sky to sky. Oh, the love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. So, if that's the love of God, what is it that we are holding back? If that is God's love for us, what are we holding back from another? Paul speaks powerfully about this. Ephesians 3, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. I think this is exactly what Paul is talking about here in 1 Corinthians when he describes love. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we are broken people. Our own sin, the sins of the world, have effect on us and work in us. Sometimes coming to us without our wishing or willing. And so God encourages us to put off the old self and put on the new self in Christ. It's really a simple question today. Are you broken? Are you broken? Is there something in this text that you would like God to transform in you? To make you more like him and how he loves. It takes some incredible humility and surrender to acknowledge that. But God's love is so great, we can do it. So what particularly is God's word for you today? Okay, I'm going to read those attributes one more time, those characteristics, and I'd like you to think about it. I'm not going to do this for like ever. I'm going to commit to doing this for 1 week. And I'm going to pray about it every day. And I'm going to trust that God awakens my understanding when I can sense it, right? Or and try to go after one particular thing. Don't go after all these things. Just choose one and ask God to work in you. Patience. Kindness. He lists pride, which says to me, humility. Maybe that's what you write, right? Humility. Envious. Maybe it's seek the best in others. Because when something comes your way, you might want to make all kinds of assumptions, and maybe you're reminded, like, okay, let me ask some questions. Could be very different than what I assumed. Seek to honor others. How about just basic greetings and encouragement? If you just worked on that for a week, like, you know, I'm going to greet everyone with eye contact, with a good morning, good evening, and maybe their name. Keeps no record of wrongs. What I would say is forgiveness. Protect, trust, hope. You know, if you're feeling weary, maybe you simply want to write perseverance. See how that manifests itself. So I had a couple of thoughts about this before we close, right, with some prayer today. A couple of closing thoughts. One was, what came to my mind was the person of Jesus. Sometimes we may wonder always exactly what it means to love as God loves. It's a simple thing, right? But yet it can be kind of complicated for us. We don't know how to get our head around it. I think this is one of the greatest gifts that God gave us in the sense of Jesus, right? Son of God becoming incarnate. So if we study Jesus, if we seek to take his teachings in and actually live them out, that's the whole purpose of Jesus coming and of Jesus' kingdom come and of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives and in the world, that through people just like us, broken, can completely rely on Jesus, put our faith and trust in him, and we can seek to walk in the ways that Jesus walked. If it's hard to understand what some of these things look like, what they look like, then take a good look at Jesus. He's the perfect representation of God among us and the perfect picture of what love looks like. This is why certainly, like, when, you know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago or not or whatever, but, you know, I think of like a marriage relationship. It's like when you read about what that looks like, you look to Christ. Paul points us there and he says, imitate Christ, men and women, in your relationship with one another. Lay down your life for one another. All these things Paul says about love apply to any relationship that we would have. I think even extends to the strangers among us. Even today, it's like, you know, we're not going to go out and try to, like, do this big thing for God today. We're just simply going to be ourselves and just go make contact, raise some awareness about people who we don't interact with all the time, who are on the street. And some of them are in tragic positions. Some of them are in habitual situations. Some of them are addicted to things. Some of them just have had hard things in their life. We're just going to say good morning. Simply, what's your name? Make some initial contact. You know, it might even feel weird and strange. Might even feel a little scary. Certainly the loved ones among us, but also the stranger as well. A second thought. And then we'll go into prayer today. And this is challenging, actually. More challenging. Love, and the love that we exhibit in Christ, is the truest mark of what an authentic relationship with God looks like. It's probably the truest mark as well of maturity in our lives in Christ. It's actually okay to say we're immature, because then there's hope for us. We can find it in God. Ask God today, where is your immaturity? Where is it that you need to grow up in Christ? I wonder, has it been spoken by Paul today in his list? Is the Holy Spirit just simply whispering something to you? Mine came pretty easy, but I've had a week to reflect on this, right? Get ready for today. And then this week, a couple things happened, which made it clear. Work on this. Surrender. Two examples to close. One Paul gives in his text. He talks about a mirror. In ancient Near East, or in ancient days, right? Paul's day. Let's just say Paul's day. They would have mirrors, but they are nothing like the mirrors we have today. Yes, they will give you a reflection, but they will give you sort of a bit of a distorted reflection, something that's a little bit foggy and not quite given to you a reflection of clarity. Okay. So when he talks about a mirror in his text, he's saying that right now in this life, and again, this is grace and mercy, we see things in a dim reflection. Mirrors today are better, but in his context, it can be hard to see with clarity. Paul compares the gifts of the Spirit as being like a mirror that reflects the things of God, but dimly. As an ancient Near East mirror. And like today's mirrors, you could still say they both give a reflection, but they're not the actual thing themselves. He's saying what the real thing is love. And without it, you gain nothing, you are nothing. It's stunning. Kind of reminds me of Jesus teaching on the Sermon on the Mount where he says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not perform miracles in your name? Did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? And interestingly, he says, I'll say to them, away from me, I never knew you. That's always been a mystery to me. And then I read this about Paul. And he says, you can have all these gifts. You can do all kinds of good things, whatever you want to determine good. But if you don't have love, you see, you're a clanging gong. Final image. When you look at the flat irons, we've had a couple times recently, right, where we had a lot of those sort of disturbances in the sort of weather patterns, right? And you would have clouds that would just roll in, almost like a mist in a fog. And so a few mornings, you would look up and you would see, you wouldn't see, you just see this foggy bank, which is odd for us here, because we look up and we see the mountains. I think that's some of what he's saying. Just work out and exercise the ways of love. He said, sometimes, you know, it's a little bit foggy. We can't quite see the full picture. We wonder where the mountains are. But I'll tell you what, right? When we enter into love and the things we can do in relationships, what I thought about is the sun comes out, right? And it starts to burn away that fog. And then all of a sudden you can see with clarity. In God's light, we see light. In God's love, we experience love. In God's love, we become light and love in Christ. I'm going to give you just a second to just have a minute or so of quiet, because to just ask the Spirit, right? What is that one thing, perhaps? What is that one thing that the Spirit would like to work in your life with? Maybe you have a specific instance you'd like to use it in, but I don't know. Let's commit to 1 week, and I will as well. Let's just see. be fun. Like, hey, you want to know what happened, Pastor Mark, this week? You know when you say, you know, be careful what you ask for? So let's pray. Give you a minute, and then I'll close in prayer. Lord, receive our hearts today and their desire to want to be more like you in the ways of love. Thank you for the great example you've given us in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the power you've given us to do this in the different ways of following you. The power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, clothe us with love today, the love of Jesus Christ, that we might be light, that we might be bearers of life to those around us. And that in that too, Lord, just following you in the simple ways of love, that we would be changed and transformed as well, more like your Son, Jesus. Lord, we ask for your blessing today. In Jesus' name.